Hey, Naughty, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey Jenna, good to see you. Great to be here.
It's been a little while. I think our last episode was sometime earlier this year, and we've been meaning to do this again, but we had so much going on this summer with me going to India. You went to the UK for a crop circle. I don't even know what to call it. It's not even like tours, it's more like communion.
Yeah, adventure, expedition, all
Yeah.
sorts of
A quest.
Glamorous words other than a tour.
Yeah, Nadi went on a crop circle quest. So we're going to talk about that today, which I'm excited about. We've talked about it a little bit, but Nadi's going to share a little bit of the highlights of those experiences. But for those who don't know Nadi very well, Nadi is our sacred geometry instructor, as I mentioned in the intro. And I want to just kick it over to you, Nadi, to give like the, Cliff Notes highlights version of how did you get here? Like, how did you get to this place where you have that giant Sri Yantra behind you and you're teaching sacred geometry and going on crop circle quests? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, I ask myself that sometimes. It's been an interesting path. I used to live a very understandable life. I was a psychotherapist for about 10 years on an inpatient psychiatric unit. And so I have this version of interpreting non-consensus reality, right? I have a very Western model, and that was limited for me. And so I took a leap into the unknown at the time and the uncertainty of potential. And I found sacred geometry and I started drawing it and found myself coming into alignment without knowing it really, just following the harmonics of the geometry and then starting to learn about it. And then the geometry is based in the universal language of math. So I was drawn to all things universal in terms of structure and mathematics, and I found crop circles and had another full immersion in the crop circles. And inevitably, the question becomes who makes them? And so that led me very off planet into connecting with advanced civilizations, learning about myself as a multidimensional being with various aspects in various galaxies, and using the geometry like the Sri Yantra, to keep drawing, to keep accessing higher states of consciousness. So it's all woven together. And the culmination was that I ended up in England this year and had a wonderful time. I'm looking forward to talking about it a little bit.
What a journey. It's like, it's so interesting how that dive into the unknown just, reveals so much. It's like when you start just opening and asking those questions, the universe reveals its secrets.
It does. And what's fascinating is I think about 4 days into the trip, it was quite an existential challenge to place my faith in something that is not guaranteed to exist. I mean, there's all sorts of parallels with Christianity and Judaism. I mean, it's all, crop circles are my Jesus, so to speak.
I
And
love
so
that.
I'm very aware of the parallels, and so the reason I start with talking about the Western model of interpreting psychiatric conditions is because technically I fall into a couple of those now without the diagnostic criteria. I have, I believe in, I won't say invisible forces, but synchronicities and magical thinking. And I'm all in that world that I'm very aware would otherwise be diagnosed. So I'm writing this book about the paradox of living in those two worlds. So it was inspired by the trip because about 4 days in, I was like, what am I doing here?
I love that you share that because I think that's so relatable. Like I relate to that in so many ways. Like no matter how many, I shouldn't say no matter. Maybe there will come a day, right, where we're just so, embodying it that there's just no room to question. But until then, the monkey mind sneaks in, and even though we've had these extraordinary multidimensional experiences, we've had contact, that starts to become fairly undeniable. there's still those moments of questioning and where's this leading and all that stuff. And I think it's, yeah, I think it's cool to, you know, as a person who is now leading people in this process of finding wholeness, finding alignment through the geometry, to share that, like, that happens, like, that comes up still, like, that's part of life, that's part of the journey. And I think that's important to share. I also want to just very quickly highlight what you said about crop circles being your Jesus. And I think in the last episode, we'll link to it here for, so folks can find it, I think we were talking about something similar, and I said something like, yeah, it's like the crop circles are part of the second coming.
Yep, could be. Yep.
So you got over there, you know, this incredible journey of, you know, bringing sacred geometry to people and diving into the geometry in your life and all these profound ways led you to really connecting in person in this extraordinary way. What happened when you first got over there? What was the scene like? What's crop circle season like in the UK?
It's fabulous. I was so blissfully surprised to immerse myself in the culture, in the hardcore longtime croppies, you know, the folks who've been doing it for decades. And I had met a dear friend in the States who said, come and I'll take you around. And so we did. We went searching for crop circles, but he also took me to the Barge, right, which is this pub where everybody would gather and they would share, like, oh, we saw one in the East Field. And then everyone would go up to the East Field.
Oh, cool.
It was before the internet really was the way to communicate. And so, you know, showing me all of the long barrows and the smithies and just understanding the culture. And we went to Avebury and we were just in the center of Wiltshire County, which, you know, 90% of the crop circles happen in Southern England and Wiltshire County in particular. And so it was wonderful to talk with the people who had firsthand experiences and had these magical transformational stories. And I went to a local night of crop circling, right? Where it's just a bunch of people that got together and, you know, shared their stories and their research. And then I went to a crop circle harvest party. You know, it was just a cool thing. It was so fun. And I got to be in 4 out of the 7 crop circles that I was looking for. So it was really a treat to go and, like, get the context, you know?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's so cool to hear about just, like, the on the ground scene and, like, how people interact and what that's like. I've always wondered about that, and I'm hoping maybe I can go next year. Maybe that would be an opportunity, but we'll see what happens. You know, it was wild while you were over there, you know, because I'm here just, you know, doing my normal thing, and every once in a while, you know, opening social media and I follow crop circle accounts, and all of a sudden there'd be this, like, breaking news, you know, it's like, it feels like that. It's like, breaking news, there's a new crop circle this morning. And I'm looking at this photo, and then I get this text from you with the same photo, but, like, a real photo of being there. And you're like, guess what I got to do this morning? So talk about that.
Yeah. There were 2 formations that I really connected with. And the first one, you know, I had basically, I want to say, hitched a ride, right? I had a friend who said, I'm going over to England, you should come with me and we'll go chase crop circles. And so fortunately he drove, right? You have to have a car to get around. And then my friend who lived there also had a car. So that was how we accessed it, because it really is like a scavenger hunt. You know? And they announce, you know, oh, it's been spotted in this farmer's field, you know. And I'm not quite sure, because it seems like crop circle connector, or, you know, crop circle access, like, they have the information before the farmers do. So it's, you know, there's all sorts of interesting details. So these 2 formations, the first one, my friend who had organized the tour, you know, come on along, he had signed us up for a crop circle tour where they would, like, we get in a huge bus with 40 people and we're, like, driving around these tiny English roads, you know, country roads. And so I had gotten into England's I met them in London. We turned right around to go up to Glastonbury. And so it was this immediate to the countryside, stayed the night, and then went right into the tour the next day. And when we got on the bus, the tour guide said, "Well, there's been a new crop circle today, and we don't know how the farmer feels about it. There's a lot of things that have to go right for us to get into it. So I don't want to promise anything, but it's very exciting." And so I looked up on my phone, and this formation, I literally gasped out loud. It was so beautiful. Like, it excited my entire being. And so we went, and the farmer didn't know about it yet. And there were a couple people in the field, and I was like, kind of couldn't keep me on the bus, you know, and I just bolted. And I was the first one in there. I mean, there were other people, but I was the first one of our tour. And I can't discern between what was my bliss state, having finally made it to a crop circle that was made the day I landed,
right,
got to be in the next day. And I have a picture of it if you want to see it. And I've been so obsessed that I know how to draw it. I know how to use the flower of life to find this ninefold geometry. It was so extraordinary. And I knew what it looked like from the ground. And it was a ninefold geometry. It was three rings of nine, and the magic of three, six, and nine. And the thing about genuine crop circles is usually they check out geometrically. And so, you know, I just sat in one of the circles, and everybody had their crystal skulls in the center and all circling around and sending prayers. And it was just like the full experience, you know. And can I just show it?
Yes, to yes, yes, yes. Like, and I remember when I saw this one before even knowing you were in this one that day, like I had this moment of, wow, that's an extraordinary one. Like that's a good one. Yeah. There's something special about that one. And then to find out that you got to go in that one. And of course you were first. That makes sense.
Yeah, I know. Well, I didn't want to look like such a dork, you know? So I did kind of a, like bounding, like, oh, I'm being funny in my anxiety to get there. You know, I couldn't contain myself. And it was funny to watch my excitement and, you know, the whole conversation about, you know, genuine versus man-made and all of that, you know, obviously I was looking for information, and that's a whole part of the existential search, but let me show you it. It was so stunning. It'll take me a minute to, here we go. I have all of my crop circles. So this is the one that I got to sit in, hopefully. Yeah. And so the way it's designed, you know, any time of the day except when the sun is directly overhead, the shadow makes it look spherical and very, you know, three-dimensional. And so I can track the one that I sat in. It was this one over here, because it's one of the two that didn't overlap a tram line, right? The farmer crop, the farmer tractor tram line. And then this is the drawing of it that I got to do, because, you know, because of my decade plus of drawing the geometries, the flower of life is a sixfold geometry that can be split into a ninefold. And then all of the rings of the circle match perfectly with the three rings of the flower of life.
Amazing. So, look at that.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, to have like the ultimate experience, the first day I arrived, I was like, okay, I can go home now, you know?
Right. So, like, what a gift. Like, it is so synchronistic, you know, when you think about the meaning of you being over there, the, you know, going into the unknown, just being open, all of these years of sacred geometry. And then that happens on like the first morning. It's just extraordinary.
Yeah, it did feel extraordinary. And I mean, it's been since, so 2017 is when I had my real crop circle, well, the second awakening where it all launched. You know, I had the first one in 2010, didn't register what was happening. And then it, you know, 7 years later,
yeah,
all of a sudden it's there.
Yeah.
So that's, is that 8 years, 7 years, you know, later. And the thing that was really great is that the parts of the phenomenon that you really don't hear too often about, like we hear some of the, you know, anecdotal stories of spontaneous healings and contact experiences, but to actually talk to people really validated the genuineness of the phenomenon, right? Because I kind of went with this, you know, expectation, not expectation, of seeing some evidence, some of the biophysical anomalies in the field, some of the things, you know, some of the sort of proofy type things. I didn't realize I had such a desire. But the stories, and then the other piece is that all of the longtime croppies, they are all in with manifesting the crop circles. There are so many stories of people saying, I want a crop circle in this field representing this tomorrow before I leave, and it happens. And
so we have like a consciousness phenomenon happening here.
Yeah, totally. Where there's a shared collective that creates the phenomenon. Like, and that's enough empirical data for most people that have been there to say, yes, this is a genuine phenomenon, you know, because that question just, you know, I came out of the trip more in the mystery than I went into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that that's a cool place to be though. You know, it's like, yeah, we want all the answers, but also why do we have to have them? I was just talking about that earlier, talking about Bashar and the weekend with Bashar here in Sedona. And yeah, it's like, we just get so attached to like wanting the answers. And I remember, when was this? Last year in, I think, April or March, we did a crop circle thing together. And there were three of us, you, me, and Sinead. Nadi was sharing some of her crop circle presentations that she gives. Nadi's a public speaker and instructor. And so she, you know, was preparing this talk, and we were like, we want to see it. And so Nadi generously shared it with us. And this, you know, I had dabbled in crop circles, but this was probably the first time I had just sat down and allowed myself to just be immersed in them for like an hour, however long that was. And I had like a 2-day contact experience after that. That night, I had a dream, which I won't talk about here because we're going to get back to you, Nadi, but I had a dream that was instructions for what I was supposed to then be doing later that year. Like, they do connect us with higher intelligence. Like, I have had that experience. And I know people in your classes have, like, so earlier this year you were, and you still are, conducting crop circle classes in addition to kind of the foundational sacred geometry classes. And I'd love for you to share about some of those experiences, because I, you know just a little tidbit from just the times we've hung out. And I remember hearing about these and thinking, wow, like, just the evidence continues to stack up with what people experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of what keeps me going. I mean, and my own personal experience, you know, and I never actually needed to go to England. I never needed the empirical data. You know, a lot of people want that. But for me, I've had such embodied, profound experiences. I don't need that. My intuitive knowing is my own proof. And I believe that the formations are here to help us develop a reality based in that intuitive knowing, right? Moving actually away from a third dimensional, you know, rational, linear, empirical Western model into, you know, a more fifth dimensional, heart-centered, intuitive, connected, you know, perspective. So they're actually a mechanism of transformation in so many ways. And for me, these are advanced technologies being given to us that are helping to activate our higher potential, our higher capacities, our DNA. You know, there are sonic frequencies left in some of the crop circles that when you go into them, they create a theta wave, right? There's theta frequencies and they align the hemispheres of your brain. And that's how we get contact experiences. You know, the electrostatic charge is elevated. Just reports of people going in with chronic, you know, disabilities being healed, right? So just remarkable experiences and what I consider to be non-local technology, right? Advanced civilizations are working beyond time and space. So all it's about is looking at them. And they are they're advanced and they know how to collectively and individually work with our systems in the most perfect, gentle way. And I, you know, I've had so many experiences that feel like a homecoming, you know, and so just powerful beyond anything. And it keeps me going. And, you know, I've done two 8-week courses with Zenka Carroll's Lightnets, you know, these where I find other hardcores and we dive in for 8 weeks. And then one of the 8-week courses, we couldn't stop. So it was 12 weeks and it's just going in and then drawing them also is a very powerful activation. So that's why you see the drawing and I love to find people that like to draw them as well. So.
And maybe as an entry point for people who aren't quite ready to go into the 12 week or lifelong crop circle course, you're offering a 4-week drawing course coming up on crop circles. So what's that going to be all about?
Well, that is its own journey because it kind of requires a buy-in, right? You have to be in a level of kind of presuming that this is an extraordinary phenomenon and that you will get an activation by drawing them, right? So there's a few that I have sort of back engineered through the geometry, and then and some of them are fairly complex and some of them are really user friendly, but this is kind of one of the more next level classes that I do. And then I have a bunch of intros coming up, mostly for sacred geometry, but I was asking myself, you know, what do I want to do this season? What am I teaching? You know, I've been teaching similar material for a bunch of years. And I was like, well, I really just want to draw them with the people that want to draw them. So, you know, the folks that are drawn to my classes, the folks that are drawn to your podcast, like we know there's more going on. So I love to attract and find those folks and have those conversations about how much more our multidimensionality, the civilizations that are here to help us. It's that basically. And that's a 4-week course until I get together the next one, you know?
So we'll link to that below so that people can find that and get signed up. And for anyone who's maybe not quite ready to go all in on the drawing crop circles, if maybe you need to kind of just start at the foundational, you know, place, we have Nadi's pre-recorded sacred geometry drawing classes that step you up through the various layers of geometry, and those are a great place for people to start. We've gotten tons of great feedback from people who wanted to delve into the sacred geometry but just needed that guidance, you know, and you give this step-by-step instructions on how to navigate these geometries and drawing them seems to do something a little different than even just meditating with them. So I'd love for you to talk about like how you've experienced the differences and maybe why it's important for people to embark on the drawing journey.
Oh yeah, I'm a dedicated practitioner and of service to geometry, to the crop circles, because they are such gentle entry points into understanding the interconnectedness of all things, you know, and drawing the sacred geometry is so powerful because as you are connecting with these perfect harmonic shapes, you are entraining your system to those harmonics. I mean, you do it when you meditate, but there is what's the word? Activation is so, you know, we all know the word activation, but there's an intimacy in the exchange, right? There's that fully alive relationship that you have created this geometry that embodies your energy. And when we talk about, you know, setting intentions and doing the spiritual work, this is really fun because you have a tangible manifestation from your efforts of integrating the information, right? So it's mind, it's body, and it's this holistic approach. And it, you know, you've got the drawing, you've got this creative expression, which is the right brain element of our reality. And then you've got the linear structured form, which is satisfies the left brain, right? So this, it's this alignment of our hemispheres of our brain, the masculine, the feminine. It's all coming together in this very sneaky way, because you just think you're drawing some shapes, but really you're expanding your consciousness to greater perceptual awareness, right? Like in one of the classes, we draw a tesseract, which is an eightfold geometry, is an octagon, right? The stop sign, the shape of the stop sign. And a tesseract is a fourth dimensional geometry, doesn't actually exist here. And so it requires an invitation. It requires an understanding of the rest of what's going on, of the true, the, you know, the more that we are. And so I am dedicated to this teaching process because it is such a gentle introduction, right? There's no requirement. Everybody can learn how to use the compass. You know, it's my passion based in my psychotherapy history is to create a very safe and supportive environment where not only are we drawing, we're learning about our process as we go. We are learning what it means to expand. And then that's with the sacred geometry, but it's also with the crop circles, because the invitation is to really consider, you know, that there's a lot more going on and that we are so much more than these three-dimensional, you know, physical forms that we've been told.
I love that. Like what we're not trying to sell people on stuff. It's just like, it's just important, you know, like thinking about the aspects of harmony that can be achieved. Like we're all in on this because of what we've experienced. And I was talking earlier in a different recording about just the levels of disharmony we experience here on planet Earth for various reasons. You know, we've been wired for lack of harmony. And so our work, you know, in this lifetime is like rewiring ourselves for the harmony that is inherent in the universe. And so it's like you said, you're just entraining yourself into that harmony, into that field that is perfect, that is this perfect harmony. And so yeah, it's been really beautiful to watch your process and to see the evolution, you know, that has occurred with both of us as a result of utilizing this technology, and to recognize even how many of the people who have taken your pre-recorded courses, how many of them, you know, have come back and said, wow, you know, like this has, you know, either, you know, created some aspect of, you know, softness and healing and peace, or it has catapulted them into the next thing they needed to find and connect with on their path. It's like maybe that aspect of creating harmony with, you know, working with the geometry also then affects our ability to experience synchronicity that guides us down a higher path or up a higher path. So there's just so much to be said for what's possible with this geometry. And I'd love for you to maybe back up for a moment and talk a little bit more about what you've seen unfold in the crop circles, because when we got together after you got back from this tour, you had a couple of books with you, and you were all, you know, amped up, you know, from the crop circles. I was all excited to hear about them, and you showed me this like catalog of all of these crop circles I had never seen. And I, you know, I've been somewhat connected, so I feel like I'm fairly well informed, but there were so many more than I even realized were occurring each year. So maybe for folks who are still like getting connected to this phenomenon and like figuring out what it's all about, can you share just about the number, the different types, like what should people know about the history of crop circles on Earth?
So much to know. I have the book right out of reach here. I can just to illustrate some of the pictures if you'd like me to get that.
Sure. Yeah, let's go for it.
So yes, there were all sorts of publications and information that, you know, out of print things at the Crop Circle Museum, which is right next to the barge and the
pub. There's a museum?
There's a Crop Circle Museum, and it's so wonderful. It's got, you know, huge images, like the Crop Circle's blown up with all sorts of information talking about, you know, the mystery and how they were made. And, you know, there's one very famous formation called Milk Hill, and it 2001, I think, and it was 409 circles. It was really like the one that was, it was not only a showstopper, it was a jaw dropper, you know.
Wow.
And what they did, an experiment, I mean, it was 9 football fields. It was incredibly huge, and they did an experiment to try and replicate just a tiny segment of it and to see what it would take. And it took 4 days with a whole team to try and get the accuracy. So that's what the museum, right? It contains all of this just fantastic information.
Oh my gosh.
And then there's books that, you know, share that as well. And then this one, I came home and I printed this up. This is from a website called Shapes of Wisdom, I think. And so this is, it's a PDF, and I printed it up. And it basically, it's like a yearbook of every, all of the formations that happened. And there's a bunch of people who like to put yearbooks out. You know, there's temporary temples, there's all sorts of resources. And you can see, you know, they started in 1990. That started meaning they really came into our awareness with a very large formation at Alton Barnes. And then they just grew in number. So here's, like, you know, here's the first years, and then they just expand into,
like, so many,
and there's more and more and more, right? And then 150 to 200 every year in the height of it between 95 and 2005, right? This is 150 of the ones that were known, and this is only England, right? So you can see here, but then as we get more towards, like, 2012, they started seeing a difference between 120 and about 50, right? And so, you know, here's the last page, right? We've got less and less. The complexity is still there. Mm-hmm. But this year, there were only 24 crop circles.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so, you know, that's part of the inquiry of, like, what is that about? Like,
yeah.
Did we get the message, or did they give up on us? You know, so many fascinating elements.
Well, and we're inching, it seems as though we're inching closer and closer to a formal disclosure, or at least that's in the air. And so it makes you wonder, you know, maybe as we're entering that window, maybe they've been able to wind down a little bit. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, that's part of it, is that I came back. That's what I meant by being more in the mystery than I went in, you know.
So many questions. You know what you remind me of, Nadi? Mm-hmm. Who you remind me of? You know how there are master sommeliers or sommeliers, these people who have studied wine, and they're able to, you know, take a drink of wine, and it's a Pinot Noir from Oregon, 2012. Like, that's how you are with the crop circles.
Oh, I love them. That's where it comes from. I love the feeling that I have. It's very much like the geometry. There's a harmony. And you mentioned something in the segment you were saying earlier in terms of the harmony, and what that creates is alignment. And in alignment is when we are connected to our guidance. And so the expansion that can happen is exponential. So I get that with the geometry, and I get that with the crop circles, in that I have expanded to understand myself as, like I said, a multidimensional being, but, you know, going all the way to understanding simultaneity, and that there is no time, and that there are multiple aspects of ourselves on other star systems doing other similar transition work to help, you know, planetary consciousness expand. I mean, it goes all the way. It goes as far as you are willing to have it take you. It goes to making 6x6 Sri Yantras in your home. There's a compelling you know, there's an invitation to continue to expand into the more that we are. So yes, a connoisseur, I adore them, and that, you know, brings more and more expansion. So
speaking of the expansion, you know, you just talked about the Sri Yantra behind you, and recently I've been working on a line of baby clothes featuring sacred geometry. And in what reality, you know, was that supposed to happen? You know, it's so funny. It's so funny just like what unfolds, and that expansion that you did not see coming. That's possible.
No.
It's so cool. You know,
what I love about it with this, the line of baby clothes and the line of general merchandise of Star Family Wisdom and, you know, off planet intelligence, right? All of our relations. Sometimes it leads you into these places of like, wait, what? Am I hearing this right? You know, okay. And what I found is just going forward into whatever is revealed, walking towards the invitation is such a signal that you trust and believe that you are guided by benevolent intelligence. Right. So I mean, I am so far off the mainstream beaten path. You know, I have yearbooks, I have t-shirts, I have you name it. I've got stickers, I've got buttons. I wore my pin into the crop circle so that everybody knew I was all in.
As if they didn't already know.
As if, well, you know, I don't, you're right. Yeah, good call. But I running towards the crop circle, a little bit of a giveaway. But I have not looked, you know, normal for a long time. And so to have that level of faith and trust is so remarkable. And that's another part of the groups and the classes, is to say, we're awesome. Like, we get it.
Yeah.
You know, we are extraordinary. We're not crazy. We're not, you know, we're extraordinary. And we're actually on the cutting edge of understanding that there's, you know, connection with benevolent societies, you know, technologies that can help liberate humanity. Like, we get it.
Yeah.
So getting together with people who get it is really lovely and powerful.
Like, this is the future we want. Like, this is the, this is finding our tribe and coming into alignment and manifesting what's possible. And so with that, I think we'll wrap up for today and just leave the audience with that invitation to check out Nadi's drawing courses, check out the upcoming Crop Circle course if that interests you. And we'll have more chats in the future as expansion continues. And Nadi, I'm just so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for you bringing sacred geometry into my life and for the expansion I've experienced because of that. And I'm just excited for others to experience it too.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm so grateful for you, Jenna, for everything that you've brought through, you know, including hosting the geometry and sharing that passion, but also, you know, making space for contact experiences and understanding the evolution of the process. You know, I'm indebted in the ability to make it constantly available with the online courses. And I'm, you know, I'm always reachable because I love to encourage or have these conversations, you know, so through my website. I'm sure that'll all be listed, that you'll put that in the in all of the comments. But I have two community college courses because I've been teaching in Portland Community College for like, I don't know, 8 years, and the intro class, and it's an 8-week course, and it's, you can sign up online. You don't have to be a college student because it's not a credit course. Basically, it's, you know, the personal development. And then, you know, I teach here locally, but I also do have a 10-week course starting October 1st. So there's a bunch of different times of the week, a bunch of different price points. And, you know, please do reach out for information on the crop circles or geometry, because obviously I love talking about it. So,
and we'll link around. We'll link to Nadi's website below as well. That's galacticrosegeometry.com. So you can check out the live upcoming courses there too. So thank you everyone for joining us today and being on this incredible journey of expansion, saying yes to the unknown, saying yes to the benevolent support that's available to us, and joining us in this transition, this time of transition. It's really incredible to be witnessing all of it and witnessing how the geometry is helping us. So we'll link to Nadi's website below. That's galacticrosegeometry.com. So you can check out all of her upcoming offerings there. And Nadi, again, it was just so good to have you here.
Thank you so much. I wanted to add one thing. You know, we're talking about, you know, the potential for our expansion. And I think there's the element that, like, now is the time. Mm-hmm. We're looking around in a world that is crumbling and doesn't make sense, and at times, you know, painful to watch suffering. And so coming into alignment to be able to hold more hearts, more compassion, you know, whether it's geometry or crop circles or any mode that you have, it's really important that we're, you know, boots on the ground. Here we go. It's time.
I love that. Yeah. That's a great message to wrap up on. Yeah, that's our mission here on Earth together. Yeah, thank you, Nadi, and thank you everyone for tuning in. It's always so good to be with you. And again, we'll link to the courses below, and we've got the sale on Nadi's Sacred Geometry courses over this next week. If you're watching this between September 13th and September 20th, check those out and take advantage of that, and definitely check out her upcoming live classes. And we'll see you next time in our next episode. Bye for now.